All right, well, let's pray and get into the Word. Father, again, we give you this evening, Lord. We thank you for your Word. We thank you for these three verses which we studied in depth these past couple of weeks, Lord. We pray that you would continue opening them up to us, Lord, and taking them deeper into them as we look at light and darkness this evening, Lord, and your ways in our lives with them, Lord. So anoint your Word to go forth. Speak into our hearts, Lord. Again, give us understanding of your Word and more about who you are and who you desire us to be. In Jesus' name, amen. So we looked in depth at 1 John chapter 1, verses 5 through 7, and I'm going to read those to start out with. This is the message which we have heard from him and declare to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. So we see repeated through these three verses the word light. So I thought that we would just take, and I know we studied this in depth, but we're going to take an even closer look at light tonight. And if you go to a concordance or Strong's or something like that, and you look up light in these verses, we see that it talks of literal light, the emitting of light through a lamp, through fire, through candles, but just the giving off of light. It could be through stars, the sun, that kind of life. Again, light, again, emitting of light. Also in the heavenly realm, in Scripture, there are several occasions where it talks about angels and the fact that their garments shone brightly, that a light was emitted from the angels. We know the Mount of Transfiguration, that Jesus shone brightly to the three disciples who were with him. And in Revelation, of course, it talks about how there's going to be no need of physical lights because of God's light in heaven. So there's literal light. But then this light also talks of a metaphorical side of light, a pureness or a brilliant quality from within. It talks about or speaks of truth and knowledge or on a spiritual purity level. It can talk of that which is exposed or made open or public when things are brought to light. And it also can speak of reason. You know, the word says, come, let us reason together. You know, let's bring this stuff to the light and look at it. So dealing with the mind, the power to understand both moral truth and spiritual truth. So those are the meanings when it speaks of God is light here and walking in the light. Those are what it's looking at, this particular light. And we see in verse 6 it says that if we say we have fellowship with him, but we're walking in the darkness, that we're lying and we're not practicing the truth. So there's an opposite to light. There's darkness, and it directly opposes the light. This is void of all light, or I like this definition, it was want of light. Do you ever get up in the middle of the night and perhaps go to the bathroom and you turn the light off or on, and then you turn the light off and it's complete blackness? Your sense of any night vision is gone because you had the lights on and now they're off, and you have this want of light because now all of a sudden, even though you may know your surroundings, you're bumping into things because any sense of light is gone. There's a want. And I don't know as I looked at thought of this on a spiritual plane, do you know people who are in darkness? And doesn't it seem like there's a want of light in their lives? There's something that's missing. And they seem to know it, and they want it. And so as we look at this darkness here that says, but you walk in darkness, there's this want of something different. There's this want of the light. We have this, those who don't know the Lord have this void. They have this hole, and that void is meant for Jesus. And there's that want there. This darkness also means an ignorance of divine things. There's no knowledge of the scripture. There's no knowledge. We used to go out on the streets, and there were people who have never heard the name of Jesus, which is unbelievable in this country. But there's an ignorance of divine things. There are people out there who don't know God's word. They don't know the incredible gift that he has for them. It's also wickedness, evil, and misery in hell, that darkness. It's not a place that we should want anybody to be in. And so it directly opposes light. I was looking into scripture, and I find it amazing in Genesis chapter 1. What is the very first thing that God created? Light. It says in verse 3, then God said, let there be light. And there was light. Verse 4, and God saw the light, and it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. So God even says, light is good. And what happens in the dark? A lot of evil stuff happens in the dark. Because people want to keep what's going on in their lives hidden. It's nighttime when a lot of the behaviors that go along with sin are taking place. It's taking place in the dark. It's hidden. And what's even worse is when those sins creep into the daytime and it happens in the light. And, you know, we get appalled when various crimes or things happen and we say, I can't believe that happened in broad daylight. And because why? Light and darkness oppose each other. John 11, verse 10 says, if one walks in the night, he stumbles because the light is not in him. So if we try to get out of the light, if we don't want to be in the light, or if someone doesn't want to be in the light, guess what? They're going to be stumbling around. And don't you know that of people who don't know the Lord? They're just stumbling about in this world. And the light isn't in them. And it's because they're walking in the night. They're involved in the things that are taking place in the darkness. And so I found it amazing as I thought about this that was the very first thing that God created was light, because in the darkness, that's where sin creeps in. And then we know from looking at our study and from 1 John 1, verse 5, it says that God is light. I wanted to look at this a little bit more. Exodus chapter 13, verse 21 says, the Lord went before them by day, and this is where he's dealing with Israel, and he's brought them out of Egypt, or he's bringing them out of Egypt, and this is what it says about him. The Lord went before them by day in a pillar of a cloud to lead them the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light, to go by day and by night. So God led them with light. He was a pillar of fire, and the purpose was to lead them in the way they should go, the path that they should take. And so God is a light for us. Why? To lead us in the way we should go, to illuminate the path that we should be taking. just like he did for Israel, by day and by night. He's the one we should be looking to for guidance in our lives. Exodus 27:20, now he has laid out for Moses a plan for the tabernacle and the instruments that are to be placed in the tabernacle. And one of those instruments is the seven lampstands. And this is what he has to say about this. And you shall command the children of Israel that they bring you pure oil of pressed olives for the light to cause the lamp to burn continually. And we know when oil is spoken of in Scripture, it's a reference to the Holy Spirit. We need the Holy Spirit in our lives to give us light to continue illuminating to us the path that we should take. And that light should never go out. We don't want to do things in our life, things that belong in the darkness, to quench the Holy Spirit. That should be a light that's continually burning in us. Exodus 27, verse 20. You're welcome. And then we start to see that if we are walking in this light, if we are walking on this path that God is illuminating for us, that there are many benefits for walking on that path. And so now I want to take a look at some of these benefits, walking through some more scriptures as to why we should walk in the light, as 1 John 6 had said. Psalm 27:1, this is a psalm of David, says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" So one of the benefits of walking in the light is we know and we're assured that God is our light. We are assured of the salvation that we have in him. They're connected there, light and salvation. But what happens when we know that the Lord is our light? Fear is dispelled from our lives. It says, I know he's my light. Whom shall I be afraid of? What do I have to fear if God is my strength? So walking in the light can dispel our fears. Psalm 43, verse 3 says, "Send out your light and your truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me to your holy hill and to your tabernacle." So here we have a prayer saying, "Lord, send me your light, your truth." So if we're in his word, we're seeking out his illumination of his word in our lives. What should we be doing? How should we be walking? How do we practice truth as he said in 1 John? What's in that for me? He's going to lead us. He's going to guide us, it says in this verse. And you'll notice that he's going to be leading us into fellowship. He's going to be leading us because what does it say? Bring me to your holy hill. Bring me to your tabernacle. Guess what? Yes, we're going to be in the Word. And yes, we are the temple of the living God. But where else do we go? We come to church. We come to fellowship with one another, to encourage one another. A lot of times when stuff is creeping in our lives, when we are walking in fear, what do we want to do? We like to pull away. But guess what he's saying? Walk in the light. Come on. Be in fellowship and be encouraged by one another. You know, he's going to lead us. Sometimes when we're anxious or we're fearful or our circumstances get overwhelming, what do? We table our Bible. Instead, we should be getting into it, and he's going to bring us through his word that comfort that we need, that strong consolation that we need, that guidance that we need. He's going to lead us, this verse says. If we take a look at Psalm 119, verse 105, it says, "Your word, his word, is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." So here we see the light of his word illuminates the path that we should be taking. You need wisdom. You don't know what way to go with something. Get into the light of his word, and he's going to illuminate your path. You go into a dark room, what do you need? Only to turn on a tiny little light, and you can see, maybe not very clearly, but you can see everything that's in that room. You know where you're going. I talked about turning the lights off in a dark room, and guess what? All of a sudden, your sense of vision is gone, but all it takes is a little adjusting of your eyes, a little bit of light to come in that room, and the darkness is dispelled. So we need to be in his word so that he can illuminate our path to us. Psalm 119 also, verse 130 says, "The entrance of your words give light. It gives understanding to the simple." So again, encouragement that we need to be in his word, because when it enters our mind and enters our heart, it gives us that light that we need. Sometimes to illuminate a sin that's in our lives, because the word can do that. It will put its finger on things in our life that doesn't belong in there, and we need to get that stuff out. And sometimes we need that light to say, you know what? You're being condemned. There's no condemnation in the Lord. And so we need to come out from under that heavy hand of condemnation sometimes. So we need to be in his word, because he'll meet our needs in there, whatever that need is. We need that word to be entering in because it does shed light onto every circumstances in our life, because it's living. And what else does it say it does? It gives us understanding. So is there confusion somewhere in your life of what you need to be doing, how you need to be walking? Guess what? He's going to give you understanding if you're allowing his word to enter into your life. Proverbs 6, verse 23 says, "For the commandment is a lamp, and the law is a light. Reproofs of instruction are the way of life." So it calls the commandments a lamp. It calls the law a light. And what do? They bring reproof. They bring correction. They bring what we need to change, to become more like him. It's the way of life. It shows us the way to live a godly life. So we, again, encouragement to be in the Word, walking in his ways, because it brings life. Daniel 5, verse 14 says, "I have heard of you that the Spirit of God is in you, and that light and understanding and excellent wisdom are found in you." So the Spirit of God is in you. And what do you have in your life because of that? You have light and you have understanding. And you have excellent wisdom found in you because the Spirit of God is in you. So we need to be asking the Lord to fill us daily with his Spirit, because through that we gain understanding. And what does it say about wisdom? He calls it excellent. Excellent wisdom are found in us through the Holy Spirit. Matthew 6, 22 and 23 says that the lamp of the body is the eye. So it's our eyes that somehow sometimes allow certain things in. So the lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye is good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. So we have to be very careful of what we're allowing through the gates of our eyes, because we can either be allowing things in that bring light, bring truth, bring the path that we should be on, or we can be bringing in darkness, which, what did we say, opposes light. And when we have something going on or we're walking in a sinful way, it's going to be opposing light. And guess what? Gets shelved first. It's not usually that sinful thing. It's God's word that gets shelved. And, you know, we push out the Holy Spirit and say, you know what, I enjoy this thing and I'm going to do this. So we have to be careful of these two little gates called our eyes, because and it says through these little things, what does it say? If the eye is good, if the eye's looking on good things, the whole body is full of light. But if your eyes are looking on what's bad, guess what? It defiles the whole body. So these little things affect our whole life, our whole body. So we need to be very careful. And those same verses are also found in Luke 11, 34 through 36. So we see that there are many benefits to
walking in the light. So what should our response be? Matthew 5, verses 15 and 16 say, "Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. So let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." We should be walking in the light, and we shouldn't be trying to hide it. We don't want to, as it says, have this light in us, but then hide it. This time of year, you walk into any store with a little one, and guess what the first question is? You ready for Santa Claus to come? Well, I was in Sam's yesterday, and I had Isaiah with me, and Noah was with me, and it was sample day, and they had some soup, and sure, I'll take a little cup of soup, and the first thing the girl said to Isaiah was, "You ready for Santa Claus to come?" And he just kind of looked at her, and he didn't respond at all, and I just kind of stood there, and sometimes I let that question slide, and I put a bushel over my light, and I don't even respond. But yesterday, I was like, okay, I've got Noah with me, and he's probably going, "All right, Mom, how are you going to respond to this?" And so I looked at the girl, and I said, "Well, actually, we have a birthday party for Jesus." And she just stood there quiet for a minute, and we were drinking our soup, and then she goes, "Where do you have this birthday party for Jesus?" I said, "Well, my husband's a pastor, and so we celebrate Christmas at church, but then we also have on Christmas morning a birthday cake, and we have a birthday party for Jesus Christmas morning before we do anything else." And she was like, "Wow, well, where is your husband a pastor?" And so it turned into this whole conversation of, she knew right where the church was when I started describing the surroundings, and so who knows, maybe we'll see the soup lady here at church someday, you know. But it's easy for us to put that bushel over our light. Instead, our response should be to let that light shine. And what happens when we do let that light shine? It says that our Father in heaven is glorified. So we want to let that light so shine. John 8, verse 12 says, "Jesus spoke to them again, saying, 'I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life.'" So our response should be, follow him. Deny ourselves, pick up our cross, follow him. Walk in the Word, be in the Word. Why? Because if you're following him, it says you shall not, you will not walk in darkness. Because you know what? When you do, you know it, and you're convicted, and you want to get out of it pretty quick if you do. And you're going to have the light of life. Romans 13:12 says, "The night is far spent." Remember, we talked about night and darkness. "The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light." You know what? Darkness doesn't have anything to offer to us. The things that take place in the night have nothing to offer to us. Instead, the day's at hand. We want to be walking in the light. We want to cast off those things that are of darkness because, again, they're no value to us. Instead, let us put on the armor of light. This is called armor here. It's a fight that we're in. It's a spiritual battle that we are in. And we need to put on that armor, the whole armor of God, and walk in the light. So those are our responses to light. Let it shine, follow him, and cast off those things of darkness and put on your armor. So we see the benefits, as we looked at this, of light again, that light illuminates, it dispels the darkness, it casts out fear, it gives us guidance, understanding, wisdom, it gives us instruction. Again, darkness is dispelled, and as we just saw when it says to put on our armor, that being in the light gives us protection from our enemy. So
we need to be diligent about being in the Word, about walking in the light. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your Word. We thank you that you are light, Lord. We thank you for the many benefits of this light in our lives, Lord, how it does dispel the darkness, how it casts out fear, how it guides us, directs us, Lord, how it gives us understanding and wisdom that we need to walk this walk, Lord, that you've placed us on, Lord, how it instructs us, how it guides us, Lord, how it casts out our fears and anxiety, Lord, and how we're protected if we're walking in the light, Lord, from the enemy. So we pray that you would fill us, Lord, with your Spirit, Lord, and you would strengthen us, enable us to walk in the light, Lord, to practice as your word says, to practice truth, Lord. So again, we give you our lives, Lord. We ask you to fill us, to strengthen us, to enable us to walk these walks. In Jesus' name, amen.